This is Data Citizens Dialogues, your guide to bringing trust to your data, decisions, and all things AI. For Calibra, I'm Thomas Brents. Welcome back, everyone. Here we are with another episode of Data Citizens Dialogues. I'm Thomas Brents, the Vice President of Portfolio Marketing, and I lead our storytellers here at Calibra. And wow, did we have a great story to bring you today. It's from a brand, TE Connectivity. And I had the good fortune to sit down with Jackie and Brett at our Data Citizens event in Orlando recently. Let's hear a bit more about how they put data in the heart of everything that they do at TE Connectivity. All right, well, Jacqueline, thanks for joining us. Brett, I'm so happy that you're here with us here today. Jacqueline, why don't we start with you? Why don't you tell us just a little bit about TE? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your experience?
Yeah, I really like to say that TE is like the biggest company you never heard of. I mean, I personally didn't before I started working. Sure. My name is Jacqueline Panecki. I am the lead data governance specialist at TE Connectivity. I've been with TE for 5 years and within this role for the last three. So really taking in the business insight from one of our industries and hopefully bringing it, incorporating it into our data governance and data quality standards.
I'm Brett Larson. I've been at TE for about 3 years. I've worked in data governance for almost 8 years and with Calibra specifically for almost seven. I'm a senior data governance specialist at TE. And we're working hard to try to bring all the data together.
Essentially, we design and manufacture sensors and connectivity solutions in multiple industries. So appliances, aerospace, defense, data and devices, so your cell phones. So it's just little connectors and sensors that are in those things. It might be TE Connectivity.
That sounds like a lot of data.
Yeah.
A lot of components in my everyday life.
So each of those industries that I talked about is business units. So each of those business units have data. So why it's important to us is that on an enterprise level where me and Brett are, is we're trying to make sense of it all, scale it out to the other business units so they could talk to one another, even though they're not in the same industry, be able to find it, trust it, scale it out, and use it for their decisions.
That's awesome. Yeah. Bring some meaning to that data. That's fantastic. That's fantastic. Brett, why don't you tell us a little bit about how the data office was maybe operating before you got there?
When I got here, it was pretty fragmented. Our data governance director had started not terribly long before I did. I think maybe less than a year she got the position before I did. So they were just trying to piece some stuff together. They had some basic standards and stuff that they released out to get people to start using like standard naming conventions, which was great. You know, they gathered some business terms together, which was great. But they were really hyper-focused on some like technical use cases that saw pretty limited use. I mean, they made some progress. You know, they had a data governance center, right? They had a data governance organization.
Yeah. It was very technically driven.
Yeah.
Like, he came from using Calibra, and like he was saying, our director wasn't in the field all her life. I mean, data governance is still a relatively new topic that's being talked about. Yeah. And then we got brought on. I actually joined around the same time as he, but I came from the business.
Made in heaven.
Exactly. Perfect. So I had no data governance experience. Of course, I used data. I had problems with data, so I used that to my advantage to kind of transfer into it real quick.
That's it.
But marrying up his knowledge of the tool itself and then what the business actually wanted from me and kind of speaking about it, it was very technically driven. At when we started, we completely overhauled it. It was a centralized model. We went to a federated because, as I said, we're multiple industries.
We have
a lot of data. We have multiple functions within those business units. So we wanted to make it user-friendly because there was little to no adoption other than technical users.
Yeah, so when I got on, actually, I remember I think we had somewhere between 100 and 150 monthly users of Calibra.
Yeah.
And they were all, you know, hyper-specific use cases, specific data sets for engineering and things like that that they were keeping track of.
so many customizations.
Yeah, very little besides that. But yeah, with Jackie coming on from the business, and she had been at TE already for, you know, almost 3 years before that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, me with the IT background and governance and data management background, it just, she took care of the business stuff, and I took care of the technical stuff, and we just kind of figured it out. And
it just proves everyone could do data governance in their own way. Like, you don't need to know everything about data.
Yeah.
There's people within the business that know the data. We work with them.
Yeah. Yep.
There's people within the business that know the problems with the data. You collaborate that and become a liaison for it. I mean, you need to get the people and the processes in place before you even have a tool in place.
Yeah. Well, and Jackie's a great success story because, you know, she came no governance background at all. Oh. She came from pricing and math and finance background, and here she is, and now she's, you know, heading up the data quality initiative for, you know, with CDQ that we just got. So, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there like, I just talked to somebody actually. It was just like, just put in this role.
Yeah.
We just got Calibra. Just started in data governance.
Yeah.
And now they want me to, you know, put it all together. Well, you know, there's a lot of resources. So
you bring varying backgrounds, technical, business, you bring it together. You had a bit of a start with some foundational work, but now you got to take it to the next level. How do you kind of take skills from your own backgrounds, from the business, from the pain points that you saw as a business user and not having the data that you needed, from the technical, and sort of how do I stitch this together? How do you bring different points together to help accelerate it?
I can tell you from my experience beforehand, I learned a lot from the mistakes we made, right? Because we, you know, when I started, it was really new into Calibra, and we were like really gung ho at my last position, and we started, you know, just putting a ton of stuff in there. And so one of the founding principles that we set forth when I started was, we really only want to put in Calibra what we want people to find. So, you know, that's true with, you know, business glossary. That's one of the reasons we started with the business glossary, because we wanted people to be able to find terms. It's a really easy value add for people starting in new positions or starting as new employees or contractors.
I mean, you were starting with TE, so it
kind of... Yeah, so it made
the
sense.
The use case was you.
And then that's true for the data catalog now, too. So we're starting with data catalog, and we're only ingesting like the analytics data warehouse views that we want people to find. I know almost everyone I talk to is like, oh yeah, we started with data catalog, we ingested everything, right? And then they, you know, struggle with adoption because people go in, they're just swimming in stuff they can't, they can't find what they want.
Yeah.
So
our biggest thing is we start small. See what, if you're a new user in Calibra, like he was, what matters to you? And when he came on, it was a centralized model. It was just combobulated with everything.
Yeah, we had like four communities.
Yeah.
We had like data assets, business assets.
And all of them were
tagged.
And
governance assets.
Randomly.
And yeah, and it was just all together in one thing. And no like business side data owners hardly.
But at least we had the information there. So we were able to kind of dissect that. There were tags for the business unit, so what those tags were, we put it into communities instead, and then we were able to get a product owner for each of those areas, or at least we try to. It's always a hard part with any company, but you start off small, and not everything's going to be a success story, but as long as you learn from those failures and kind of rebrand it and reorganize it in a way and talk to the business of what they want, you're on the right path.
Yeah, and we actually did have some data owners, but they weren't like segmented in their own areas, right? So they were in charge of a group of assets, but they could see all the other assets too. And I don't know, it just made a lot of sense for us to move to that federated model and break everybody up kind of by functional area and assign data ownership that way.
You brought up a good point, right? So you start small, but it's never smooth sailing, right? So let's talk about some of those challenges. And how did you overcome them? What are some of the problems that you faced as you started to unroll your vision for this program, your strategy?
Yeah, so when we first started, well, and even up till now, I really thought adoption was our biggest struggle, right? And that seems to be most people's struggle. But what I actually found out here is that adoption, and actually ever since you guys released your Diva reporting, which compares organizations of similar size across a number of metrics. We actually found out we were really good on adoption. And I talked to the folks from IKEA, too, who are, like, super high adoption.
Yeah.
And they had the same strategy we did. They started with the business glossary.
You got to start with speaking the same language.
Yeah. Well,
common language first.
And exactly. I think it was, like, a really low entry into Calibra. It's as simple as, oh, you don't know what that means, go search it, yeah. Right?
We're in meetings, and then there's a PowerPoint, yeah. And we're like, oh, well, what does this acronym mean? Well, let's give you a link to Calibra.
Yeah.
And we just provide that URL of that term, be like, hey.
Yeah.
And then they start adopting it. They start be like, oh, wait, this is a tool that we could use that I could be in a meeting and I don't have to interrupt, or if I feel embarrassed, I don't have to, like, say, hey, excuse me, what does this mean? I should probably know it, but, you know. There's a lot of jargon at TE. I mean, I'm sure in a lot of companies.
Well, yeah, we were in the meeting. Somebody brought up rot, data rot, redundant, obsolete, trivial. And somebody's like, what's rot? And we just put the link right from Calibra right into the Teams chat.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, by the way, if you didn't know what rot was, it's, you know, go to Calibra. It's in the chat. And anyone who didn't know about Calibra now knows that they can search for stuff in Calibra. And that's one of the things that we did to drive adoption, which I think was really successful.
That's huge. Yeah, yeah. Give them the foundation. Help them bring meaning to the problem. It's like you guys could be marketers, right? You're kind of tying it together. Same thing, right?
And by the way, our director's boss does the same thing.
Yeah.
So he'll go in. He'll just start putting links in chat for terms that he goes and looks up. So that's really nice that we've had that kind of support.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And so you have huge adoption numbers. How do you make sure that if there are changes in the organization, somebody leaves, right, that the tribal knowledge doesn't just walk out the door with them? What are some of the things that you do for them?
Somebody leaves, the tribal knowledge walks out the door.
We're
right
now.
We're
still working on that. That is a huge thing, especially as a lot of them are now, like, getting up there, they want to retire, or they want to have a new opportunity. We're slowly moving towards, and that kind of gateway to the whole data quality thing, that tribal knowledge, a lot of it relies on, hey, where does this data exist? What is that master source? Because we have HANA, Redshift, Oracle, Denodo, probably everything under the sun, and everything comes from, like, SAP or another source system, but none of that was really documented or at least accessible. So we're now working with those people who kind of set it up and say, okay, well, let's get this in Calibra. Let's start with the master data domains and at least put the start, completeness and validity. No one can disagree with certain rules that have been within the company. And then we could, after we show them that or show the initial profile, we could say, well, what else have you been talking about? And kind of guide that conversation.
It's a great way to measure success, right? So we talked about adoption, validation, right? Is this, have I improved data, completeness of my glossary, right? Things that I can help paint the picture. Are there other success metrics? Are there other things that have helped you demonstrate this data governance program, this small team, is actually delivering value? And let's also double down on that. How big is the team?
It's mostly us.
Yeah, you got it right
so
here.
It's us too. We have another gentleman that works from Germany, and then we have a small taxonomy department. There's three people.
Nice.
They don't get too involved in the data quality, data governance stuff, besides mostly just categorizing our products.
They do help us with some grassroots, products are our bread and butter at TE.
They're great, but as far as, like, rolling out Calibra and engaging with the business on data governance initiatives, it's me and Jackie and Michael, the guy
talking to the business and then working.
And then our boss, our director, and that's it. So.
And we have one admin for all of our Calibra.
We do have a great systems administration team that helps us with all the connections and all that kind of stuff. Thank goodness.
You need both sides. You need the business side and you need the technical side to kind of deal with all of that, because not everyone is going to know everything.
Well, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, like 50% of the brain power right here, right in the booth today. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I always say that the way we kind of marketed ourselves now, ever since we joined, you're really the data intelligence platform front and I'm the data quality front, but we constantly collaborate with each other because you have to. I mean, they go hand in hand.
That's right. And based on the keynote that we just saw, the differentiation between the data quality platform and data intelligence platform is getting more and more and more blurry.
I'm excited.
It's bringing teams like the two of yours together to let you do that work all in the same place.
Exactly.
When you have a small team, that's how you have to work. And you have to rely on that federated model, right? You really have to lean into those data stewards. Tell me a little bit more.
Yeah, there's no way we could do a centralized model with the team we have. There's no shot.
And that's how we get those success stories. So we started with another data quality tool a few years back, and it was really just put on my plate to say, hey, roll this out, figure it out, just train the business and they'll do the work. But we found out that that's not the case. We need to work within the business. There were some use cases that we were able to get the success story, help them learn the tool while we're learning the tool, and then use that as we actually created a video, an article, to kind of get that voice out there of the issue we addressed for data quality. It was for supply chain. And then it gained adoption through other business units. They're like, wait, I have that problem, or I'm adopting that tool that they're using that we want to do data quality on, and we want to be in the same situation 5 years later. So just really word of mouth and getting those users interested in it, because unless they know that it's actually working, they don't want to adopt it right now. And that's fine.
Yeah, I hate to say the word, but we are like the most grassroots operation. We're like going out to the business and saying, hey, do you want to do some data governance?
Nice. Like I said, you guys, this is marketing 101, right?
Yeah.
You guys are like spreading the word. You're telling the story.
We're doing videos.
You're doing videos. You're writing newsletters. Yeah. You got articles.
We might do a podcast now.
You might do a podcast.
We'll do a podcast.
Share this one around. Yeah. Make some new friends in the business. That's wonderful. I love that. So now you have a great foundation in place at TE. Talk to me a little bit about what's next. What are you doing next at TE?
Yeah, so we just recently, in the last like 6 months, bought Calibre Data Quality. So we're converting our old tool to the new tool. And really what it came down to is we wanted a platform that talked to one another, connected to each other. And it's only getting better with the DIP and DQ integration, because the biggest thing with data quality was we were able to do it. We were able to record on it. But there wasn't that visibility that was user-friendly. A lot of the data quality tools are very technically driven, or they have multiple inputs. And it's just getting someone to adopt that, it's a whole learning curve that they don't want to do, because they have their day job. And a lot of this is they want to have data that has good quality and make data decisions. But it takes time. And especially with now the drive to SAP ECC to S4, they're like, oh, well, we need a cleaner data before we move it, because we don't want those duplications. We don't want those old records. So we're kind of getting into those groups of people and saying, okay, well, let's do data quality on the front end and the back end and see what can we decommission, because we have a lot of data sets. As I said, we have a lot of warehouses, and just prove it out. Do proof of concepts constantly.
Excellent. How do you scale that? Because data quality, obviously very important. Talk about some of the scale on how you get that data quality program rolling.
Yeah, we always say start small. Mm-hmm. So we start small. We start with completeness and validity, because is the data there or not? Are these fields relevant? But even there's data sets that, if it's 100% null, do we need this column in this data set? What is the performance on this data set being refreshed daily, weekly, doing to us when we're not even using it? It's not useful data. And then validity, seeing what the business say, there's so many formats of phone numbers or emails or this or that, that we could just simply put, so that way when it does go to the new tool, we have, one, put a front-end rule to it to stop it from behaving badly, because it's not just about cleaning the data. It's cleaning the process, doing more training, seeing what the actual root cause is so it stops from happening, and hopefully we get to a maintenance stage of data quality. So the data sets are good and shiny, but maybe one or two hit the cracks when we maybe have our merger or our acquisition.
Absolutely.
So you asked, how do we bring this out to scale? And I think the trick in this case is proper cataloging of the data assets that we want people to find, assigning data quality, I'll even call it data trustworthiness, right? So data quality, data observability is included in that. but also, you know, where does this data come from with our data lineage? You know, a lot of things go into the trustability of the data besides just the quality itself, as well as a whole bunch of other features that you could put around a data asset, you know, like data sharing agreements, like I said, you know, lineage and taxonomy and, you know, the relationships to analytics and all that kind of stuff. And putting all that in some kind of marketplace where people can shop for the data products.
And see what's been applied to it.
Yeah.
What data quality, where does it link to, what reports does it kind of shine? And that's really where we're heading, of making it a little more visible of what data quality is and what assets with the data catalog. But then that integration of both the tools and then hopefully lineage at some point.
So, bringing it out to scale is making that available for everybody in a single platform with all those features tied to the same data product. And it's really this drive towards a data product that I think we're going for. I mean, that's like our stretch goal. And I think that's really the scalable solution for consumption of data.
And there's some cases where we have a use case with a business unit and we actually just take it and put it on a global level. So put it on the full data set instead of a filtered version of the data set. Be like, hey, this is here. You could look at it. You could see the breaking records by whatever column has that industry or business unit or function. And then at least it's available. So if they want the information or leadership wants to see how the other business units compare to the one that initially rolled out, we can. I mean, the work was already done. It's just removing a filter.
So not just give them data, but surround it with some context to make that data product to bring some meaning and some understanding to what they're getting. They're not just, hey, this table might be helpful to you.
Yeah.
But
bring a product to the market with product features. Product development, right? Like, there's a lot of similarities between what we already do in manufacturing and you know, the things that we can apply to data as a product in what we do.
It's a great analogy, the manufacturing analogy, right? That's the core of your business. That's what you guys do. So bringing data together like you would a manufactured product. And I would imagine the importance of also giving people a way to buy that data,
or shop for it,
share it amongst teams is also important. Do you want to talk a little bit about the sharing aspect and how that's really important in your organization?
Right now, if you want to find data at TE, you know, I'm sorry to say, you either have tribal knowledge because you've been there long enough and you know who to talk to get access to the data, or you already have access to the data, or you're getting that tribal knowledge over, you know, some painful weeks.
Know someone who knows someone.
Yeah, you got to know someone who knows someone, right? And we're really looking at, you know, a data marketplace to solve that problem. We're really looking at a data marketplace. Somebody can go in, they can say, I need marketing data, you know, this.
What's out there?
Yeah, this Where specific, is it? Yeah. you know, geolocation data or whatever. Whatever they're looking for.
How does it compare in the data set in Oracle versus the data set in Redshift?
How do I trust it, right? What's the trustability metric on that? Is it something I can use for this decision or this decision? Can it be on an executive report? Or is it good enough for me to just, you know, do my job, you know, today? Maybe you don't need 100% trustability when you're doing some low-level stuff, but, you know, if it's on an executive report or, you know, something to the shareholders or something like that, you need something really trustworthy.
Different decisions require different levels of data quality. Absolutely.
And right now, getting that score or getting a sense of what that score would be is really painful.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
Sometimes we think it's worse than it is. A lot of we were starting with our master data domains, which we really see as customer, vendor, and product. And with our customer domains, we're like, oh, it's going to be a zero score. Lo and behold, we did a subset of the customer data, but we looked at what was in scope, and it wasn't as bad as we thought. Everyone was talking about we can't trust this data. We can't trust this data. Be like, well, there are flaws. I mean, there's going to be flaws with a lot of data, but it wasn't as bad of a situation as then we constantly were talking about for years. Yeah.
But now we're trying to prove it. Now we're trying to show it, right? Because before it's like, I don't know if I can use this data.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem, I found something that was wrong in it, and I don't know how bad it is.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're getting to the point, hopefully within the next year or two, where we can actually show. This is the trustability score. This is certified. Yeah. This is gold certified or whatever, you know, level of certification it is. you know, there's some accountability there. You know, they can actually believe in it.
I love the vision. Make the data more trustworthy. Pack some context around it. Make it easy for people to find. You've already climbed the hill on adoption. You're working through.
Still getting there, though.
Yeah,
still getting there. I mean, it's always going to be a battle, but, you know.
Find, understand, trust the whole way, right? That's ever since I started, that was kind of the motto we've had. And so I'm glad there's a lot of alignment here at this conference to that. I mean, it's basically the same from what I can tell. So.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the vision, and I appreciate you guys spending a little bit of time here, taking time out of your day from the conference to sit down with me and chat a little bit. Jacqueline, it's been a pleasure to meet you. Absolutely. Brett, thank you for sharing your story with us here in the Data Download. We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, I have to admit, I had a lot of fun with that one. Jackie and Brett were so easy to talk to and had a ton to share. I loved their unique background and how they got paired up together to make this governance thing work, which is not always the easiest, is it, folks? After every episode, I like to take just a quick few moments and highlight my big three takeaways. For TE Connectivity, first, combine people from the business with partners in IT. Collaboration is key. Jackie's business sense with Brett's know-how were kind of the perfect pairing. Second, start small and find what matters. I know you'll hear this probably all too often. And more importantly, you understand that this can be the key to starting everything. It's a foundation to build from. Start with something that you can get your arms around. And lastly, adoption is the key to success. Not only is it a great metric to show impact, but focusing on getting people to actually use the data, well, that's the Kickstarter for just an amazing data culture. Team, that's what I have for you today. I genuinely appreciate you spending time with me. For Calibra, this is Data Citizens Dialogues, and I'm Thomas Brents. Until next time. Want even more insight into managing your data? Visit calibra.com/podcast for additional resources on the topics covered in our show. Be sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode. Enjoy what we have to share. About a 5-star review. At Calibra, we absolutely appreciate your support. Data Citizens Dialogues is a production of Calibra in collaboration with Stories Bureau.